Father God, we thank you that we can gather. We give you thanks for this beautiful day. And Father, we thank you that we've been able to read your word, your living word. We ask now as we spend a few moments reflecting on it that your spirit would speak to us, would challenge us, encourage us and build us up. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just before we do that, I've got a couple of housekeeping things that I want to draw your attention to. Fellowship lunch is planned for next Sunday following the service, morning service. There's some sign-up sheets up the back. If you want to come along, fellowship lunch is where we join in houses with other people from the congregation and just spend a bit of time together over a meal, chatting, laughing. I don't know what happens in the other homes, praying. Whatever it is. So if you want to be involved in that, sign up. Let us know. There's some details we need, but it's all self-explanatory. If you're not sure what's happening there, you can speak to me after the service and I'll give you a bit more information. Is prayer an important part of our life and ministry as a community of God's people? Yeah, I've got a few nods. I've got a couple of yeses, so that's all right. We'd say yes. We're going to trial a way of getting more information for our pastoral prayer and prayers in general. Before the service, there'll be a couple of notepads out the front, prayer requests and praise points. They'll be set up in the foyer with a pen. And if you're here early enough, I encourage you to come early and spend a bit of time in preparation. And you can jot some notes down, things that you want to pray for or praise points. And the person that is on pastoral prayer have an opportunity to have a look at those and collate them and incorporate those prayers into our morning prayer. And they can also become part of our prayer chain as well. All right. You glad to be here this morning? Yeah, despite the fact of missing out on an hour of sleep last night? Right. Got your Bibles? Matthew? No. Luke 19. I was looking at that. It's a familiar story, isn't it? The Gospel of Luke that brings to us. A story about a man called Zacchaeus. And although I'm not going to make this the pattern of the way we do our this part of our teaching time, this morning is going to be in some way similar to what we did last week for Luke. So, Leslie, do you want to come up again and help me with some notes? We'll see if you really are awake. Not Leslie. Leslie's awake. There you go, my glasses. Got that pen? Can you reach that? Yeah, that'd be good. All right. So those that were here last week, you'll remember, get involved. I want some answers. Unfortunately, no chocolates. I think, you know, 1 week is enough to train you. And it seemed to go okay, so I thought we'll give it a go this week without the chocolates. All right. Zacchaeus, you've heard the story. We won't write this up, but what stands out in that story when you hear it again? It's a story that we're so familiar with that it can be, we can just read over it or hear it and forget about it. But as you listen to it this morning, what stood out as remarkable or something new as you heard it? God loves short people. I should have said that, shouldn't I? Yeah. God loves short people. Oh, God loves tall people. Yes, Helen. I thought I saw that. You were just brushing your hair. Okay. What else? Yes, Marlene. Jesus blessed his home. Jesus blessed his home. That stood out. Yeah. Not noting this down yet. What else stood out? Yep. God loves the sinner. God loves the sinner. He actually came to do that. That was his primary task, to save the lost. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Hang on. Sorry, Margaret. Yeah, Jesus knew his name. He knows, yeah. It's pretty impressive. He gave his life for us all. Yeah, Jesus, he gave his life for us all. Yep. Yep.
Zacchaeus recognised who Jesus was.
Zacchaeus, Yeah, he recognized Jesus. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. How did he know? Well, you know, it's pretty amazing, really. Yeah, yeah. Anything else jump out of the story? Short 10 verses. Yes, Luke?
Could you say that he rewards effort?
Yeah, well, that's what you heard. That's what you saw, yeah. He rewards effort, yeah. So Zacchaeus is looking for him, and Zacchaeus goes out of his way to make sure he has an encounter with Jesus, and he gets a reward for that. Yeah, good, yep.
How cross the other people were.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting. When I read through this and I was praying about it, I thought of when Jonah goes to Nineveh. You know, Jonah gets really annoyed at God for wanting to save people. And here the people are getting annoyed at Zacchaeus for getting in the way, you know, but God wants to encounter anybody, doesn't he? Yeah. I wonder whether we get in the way of people coming to Jesus. We're bound to, did somebody say? Yeah, bound to. Yeah, I reckon that. Anything else jump out before we kind of look at this stuff? Yep. Margaret? Zacchaeus' desire to see Jesus. Yeah, it was pretty strong, wasn't it? Jean? Jesus wasn't worried about his occupation. It doesn't matter, does it, to Jesus? He just wants to encounter anyone that wants to can be confronted with him. Yep. Anything else?
Zacchaeus' miraculous change of heart.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it did. It was amazing, wasn't it? Yeah? I think I heard somebody else say something. Yeah. Yeah, it was really, it was an amazing confronting encounter with Jesus.
He wanted to make, that
was significant change in his life. We're getting to that in a minute.
Sorry.
Yeah. There is always something, no matter how familiar a piece of scripture is to you, there as you sift through it and read it and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you through it, God will reveal stuff, will reveal things to you. He speaks, it's living word. It keeps sharpening us and challenging us and changing us. I encourage you to take time, read God's word and analyze it. What is it saying? How's God speaking to me? What is God doing here? What's happening? Don't just read it and put it aside. Let it rub against you in a way that it changes you, shapes you, enlivens you, builds you up, challenges you. As I read that, I sort of thought, challenge. Do I seek after Jesus with that sort of enthusiasm that Zacchaeus had? Would I go out of my way to meet Jesus or continue to meet him? Yeah. So we've had a couple of these, but we're going to write these down. What's something personal that happened for Zacchaeus with his encounter with Jesus? We've got Zacchaeus, a rogue to redeemed. Not rogue to redeem, but a rogue. He was a rogue. So what happened to him? Thank you. What was personal is in his encounter with Jesus? Yeah, so his encounter led to repentance. That's pretty personal, isn't it?
He hosted Jesus in his home.
Yeah, that was personal. He had Jesus round for lunch. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, Vaughan?
His idol used to be money.
Sorry?
His idol was money.
Yeah. So that kind of like changed that a little bit, didn't it? That was. Yeah. I think I saw another. Yes, okay. Yeah, so it was personal. He was active in that, wasn't he, in his encounter. He had to do something. Yeah.
He discovered how to invest his money better.
Sorry?
He discovered how to invest his money better.
Yeah, that was personal, wasn't it? Yeah. Strategy for investment. Invested his money differently, so finances, his personal finances, however you might like to catch that. Brian, sorry, I'll come back over there. Yeah, he had a personal encounter where you actually met Jesus. That was personal. Didn't just hear about it secondhand. Yep. Sorry?
He dared to
hope in Jesus. Yeah. All right, that'll do. See, last week when we talked about Paul, we had a significant miraculous encounter with the beaming light and a voice from above and so on and so forth. But do you see anything miraculous in Zacchaeus' encounter?
Salvation.
Oh, that's, yeah, well, yeah, salvation came to him. That's pretty miraculous, isn't it? Yeah. Jesus picked him out. That's pretty miraculous too. Yeah. Yeah. Just on the miraculous part, short recently David preached from Luke 18 and we had the rich young ruler, the rich man who came to Jesus. He wanted to follow him and Jesus had a bit of a conversation. At the end of the day, he wasn't willing to give his life to Jesus because he wasn't willing to let go of his finance. At the end of that, Jesus made the comments in Luke 18 around the fact that it's more difficult for a rich man to get into heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And the disciples go, goodness me, then nobody can be saved. And Jesus says, with man things are impossible, with God all things are possible. That's how I see this miraculous. We have a rich man, a wealthy man, and yet salvation comes to his. This is God at work in the life of Zacchaeus. You've got a man that is caught up in his finance and caught up in his way of living, a way which is, according to other parts of Luke's gospel, is desperate and beyond, almost beyond what God can do, and yet in the encounter with Jesus, the miracle takes place. He receives salvation. Jesus knew his name and he was picked and he became part of the family. Or as the passage says here, a true son of Abraham, a man that lives by faith and seeks to serve God as his Lord and Saviour and Master. How is it life-changing for Zacchaeus? We don't get a lot. We only get these 10 verses. We really don't know much. So we're kind of guessing a little bit about Zacchaeus and what he gets up to. But how did it change his life from those 10 verses? Yep, Mark, Alan?
He had to climb a tree.
Yeah. That could be life changing. My brother Fred climbed a tree and fell out and broke two arms and a leg in one endeavour.
But this guy, he had to climb a tree to change.
Yeah. So he had to go out of his way, Margaret.
He became generous.
Became generous. Yeah. Rob?
He would have become much more popular than he was.
Do you think so?
I think he would. I think he would do stuff to the poor, you know, and by, I do think he would have, I think the poor people would have been gravitated towards him. He would have become more social.
Yeah. Yeah. So no longer an outcast by some. I mean, I'm sure there'd be still others that would view him as an outcast. Yeah.
Became honest.
Yeah. He became honest. Yes. Oh, dear. Says... Well, no. I reckon you could take that. Well, yeah. So you're saying, if I've done this to anybody, if there's anybody here, and if I've done it to you, Roger, although you deserve it for throwing eggs, or Robert, if I've defrauded anyone, so you got that. That's how I would read that. If, like, if I've done this to anybody, I will repay it. Not if I've done it, like, oh, not owning up to this. Like, if I've done this to you, Raj, or to Alan, If I've done it to you, Alan, and I haven't realized that I've done it, I'll repay it. That's how I would interpret that if there. Yeah. I don't know. Now, that's maybe one reading, but maybe I'm not quite sure how that all gets phrased up in the Greek and the nuance of that. But as I read that, if I see that, look, if I've done this, and I know I have, if anybody comes forward, and I'm sure they will, I will do this. So he's very definite about what he's going to do. And, you know, and I think the if is not if as if, oh, if I can get away with this, I will. But I think it's if I've done this. And I think it almost has the echo of, and I have. Yeah, it just shows that change of heart. Yeah. Any final things? Thanks, Margaret, Judy, for that. All right. Zacchaeus. Thanks, Leslie. Well, that pen lasted. Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus. It changed his life. Paul had an encounter with Jesus. It changed his life. It seems very different too for me, the two ends of the stick in a way. You've got Paul, who was dead against the church, and yet God reached out to him in a miraculous and mighty life-changing way and drew him into fellowship. And Zacchaeus is at the other end of the stick. He's not against the church, but he's just interested. And it seems to be that, you know, that you get this full gamut of things happening in Scripture. It doesn't matter how unbelievably difficult it might seem from a human perspective that someone can come to know Jesus and have a living encounter with him and have a life-changing experience within their life. Doesn't matter from our perspective, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing, God's grace is sufficient to cover it all. He draws us in, each and every one of us. Next week, we're going to have a few folks share a little bit about their journey. And following communion this morning, we'll talk a little bit more about this card. But it's crucial. It's essential. It's vital. That each and every one of us has a sense of our encounter with Jesus. How has our encounter affected us personally? What was miraculous about it? You know, well, we can all say if we've had an encounter with Jesus that has changed our lives, that we are in receipt of salvation. That's miraculous. Maybe there's aspects of your life which has been completely changed from bad to good. Like in Zacchaeus' case, you know, who would have thought he would want to give away his money over and above what the law expected of him? And it's life-changing. If your encounter with Jesus hasn't changed your life, then I really wonder if you've encountered Jesus at all. It seems to me as people come along the road and they encounter Jesus with an open heart, wanting to know him like Zacchaeus, willing to hear him like Paul or Nicodemus or any of the apostles or any of the disciples down through the ages, people that come, you know, God reveals himself, pours himself into those that seek him, and it changes our life. It changes the way we live, the way we think, the way we act. Every component of our life is rearranged when we have an encounter with Jesus and accept him as Lord and Saviour. Nothing is left untouched by what God does in us, bit by bit. Is that true, Robert? Yeah. That's true for me. I know. I told you before, I was a petty thief at high school. I don't do that anymore. I don't. I do not have those pens and things that are missing. I got to a point in my life where I realised stealing is not good. It's not God-honouring. And I got challenged over that. You know? That changed my life. tell you a few other things, maybe one-on-one, but it's a life-changing experience. Has that been your experience as you have encountered Jesus? Yeah. Let's pray.